In its August 1997 issue, U.S. News and World Report noted that 4 to 6 million children, from infants to preschoolers, spend part of their day in licensed daycare. The prediction is that within the next 3 years, 3 out of 4 American women with children under 5 will be working and need child care. Even larger numbers of women are returning to the workforce when their children enter school. We have all heard the horror stories. Now we need to hear what information is currently available about child care. How can we best care for our children? Welcome to Parents Perspective. I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We are fortunate to have two guests today who are well-versed in child care issues. Bob Sickles is founder and director of Kids After Hours, a year-round child care program and summer day camp for school-age children with sites in 11 elementary schools. He's also the father of 5 young children. We're glad to have you, Bob.
Glad to be here.
Celia Shapiro is a quality assurance specialist for a high-tech company and owner of a small home-based business as well. She is also the mother of 3 children, ages 5 to 8 and a half. Welcome, Celia.
Thank you.
Celia, what child care options are there for working parents?
If you think of it like a tree, you could think of the 2 primary branches being in-home daycare and out-of-home daycare. And if you look at in-home daycare, you can have live-out care and you can have live-in care. And if you look at out-of-home daycare, you can have family-based, relative-based, or center-based daycare. On top of all of that, you need to put in the fact that you can have regulated and unregulated daycare situations when you move into out-of-the-home daycare.
So it's really a complicated issue.
It's extremely complicated.
What does regulated and unregulated mean?
Well, most jurisdictions in this country have rules for people who are running home-based daycare and then center-based daycare. And then the question is the daycare provider following the rules and the regulations of the area in which they live?
Speaking of which, we're going to ask Bob, what are the current legal requirements for a child care facility?
Well, they do vary from state to state. In my opinion, most regulations do not adequately make sure that a daycare center is doing what they should do. The regulations in the state of Maryland basically make sure that the facility's safe, the children have their immunization, the staff have their background checks, but they're not concerned with curriculum. They're not concerned with are the kids having fun? Is it a warm, caring environment? They're more concerned with, you know, is there enough space? Is there enough fire exits? Stuff like that. So parents really need to take a good long look at all the providers. Just because they have a license doesn't mean it's a quality provider.
Sticking to the legal stuff first, and then we're going to go into quality. How can parents find out what the legal requirements are?
Well, the legal requirements in Maryland is a book of all the different regulations. And so the easiest thing for a parent to do is just to walk into a center or even a home-based center and say, where's your license? I'd like to take a look at it. It'll tell them the number of children that center is allowed to have, the ages of children, when the expiration date is on the license. And that way you know that there's at least, you know, the basic regulations have been met.
Can parents find out in some central place which places comply with the regulations?
Most places will have referral services. Most referral services will not allow a child care to use them unless they're licensed. So, yeah, you can call up, usually there's child care organizations, get the referral service, and they can at least give you a list of daycare providers.
What should parents look for when they go to visit a child care center, Bob?
Happy kids. You walk into the center and you want to see kids having fun. I like to see staff playing with the kids, a very interactive part. If the kids are down playing with blocks, is there a staff person down there playing with them? Do all the kids seem happy? From time to time, there are going to be kids crying. You know, you want to make sure that the center has a very open door policy. You can walk in anytime and see what's going on. That's vitally important. If I ever had to make an appointment for a child care, cross that one off your list. You want to make sure that they have lots and lots of different supplies. Does it look like a warm, caring environment? Is it the kind of place where you walk in and your child says, see you, Mom, I got to go play? That's what you're hoping for.
I would suggest that when you're starting out, you may not be willing to trust your own instincts. And in that case, you can look at magazines like Child Magazine, Working Mother Magazine, any family-oriented magazine. And I'm sure that once a year they have 10 things to check off in your child care center. And it just gives you a little prop to give you better faith in your instincts about, is my child going to be happy here?
something that could also help in asking questions of child care providers. Parents should go right up to the director and not be, you know, subdued by a whole bunch of child care gobbledygook. Just ask questions point blank. It's your child. That's the most important thing. Feel free to say, you know, what is your staff to child ratio? You know, and if they say, oh, we have one staff person every 55 kids, look elsewhere. If they say, you know what, we're in our four-year-old class, we keep a 1-to-8 ratio, we keep a 1-to-5 ratio, then you can go and check the daycare center down the street and see what their ratios are. And there's, I'm sure, tips like that you can get in various magazines, and that at least gives you a starting point for asking questions. And people should give you open, honest answers.
What are some other kinds of questions you might want to ask if you're visiting or interviewing someone for child care?
I think the most important thing is to write your questions down.
Oh, boy.
That way you don't forget them, and it's perfectly okay to take notes. The other thing is to ask open-ended questions. So instead of saying, do the children play, which is a yes-no type answer, you can say, how do they play? What do they play with? How do they interact? And let the person talk and talk and talk, and then take notes if you want to, and step back and reflect on it. I think the worst thing you can do is to make a snap decision. So write your questions down, ask open-ended questions, and then stop and think about the answers to the questions. But then, as Bob pointed out, the most important thing, again, are your instincts. It's your child. You know your children better than anybody else.
Celia, why did you choose in-home child care?
Well, there were a few reasons. The first reason, to be honest, is that it's easier on the parent. You get dressed, you go to work, and you leave your child, maybe still asleep, but I like to wake mine before I go, in their pajamas, screaming if they happen to be in that mode, eating breakfast, whatever it is, and the parent is able to make a cleaner, easier exit from the home. A second reason is because I just believe that whenever it's possible, it's easier for children to be home. They have a long day at school. Even if they're a half-day nursery school program, they come home, they need to play with their own toys, have little friends in their neighborhood come over. And then the third reason for choosing in-home daycare is that it does become a question of economics as soon as you have more than two children. And I think that for most places, full-day care becomes less expensive in your own home with three and more children.
That's definitely the case. If you can find someone to come into your house for, you know, maybe $250 or $300 a week, if you have two, three, four kids, well, if you come to a full-day center, you may be paying $125 a week for each child. And I think part of my goal in running daycare centers is to try to get our centers to feel like home to the kids. Well, in an in-home daycare, you don't have to make the house feel like home.
Sure.
It already is home.
Celia, what resources should parents use to seek in-home child care providers?
Well, there's word of mouth. There's putting up a little notice at your house of worship, your nursery school, your corner grocery store. There are city and local newspapers. There are also child care agencies, and there are other daycare providers. You just have to ask everyone you know and read everything you can read.
How can parents evaluate?
You evaluate them preferably in a multi-step process. The first thing you do is interview them adult to adult, but then you must see how the daycare provider interacts with your children. And then possibly the most important thing is to check references. And again, when you're checking references, you should have your questions written down, and you should ask open-ended questions. And if anything sounds a little bit suspicious, a little not clear to you, then you have to pursue that line of questioning, which is very hard to do with the person that you're talking to on the other end of the telephone.
And one question you should always ask, would you hire this person again? Any hesitation, cross them off your list. You want to hear a heartfelt, yes, I would. I'm so crushed that she left, but our kids were 15 years old and we didn't need her anymore.
Right. That's an excellent question. And the one I always ask is there something that I should be asking you that I haven't thought of?
Oh, good for you.
It's wonderful.
Because you haven't thought of any of everything. And most people want to give a good reference. So if you open that door to saying, well, there was just this one time, or by the way, she crashed my car four times, it's just extra information you can have to evaluate.
Bob, what should parents look for in optimum daycare for younger children, for the child who's under a year old, the child who's between 1 and 4? It's got to be a little bit different from what we've been evaluating.
Yeah, it's really tough for infant care. It's very, very difficult to find good infant care because, frankly, there's not the incentive for quality providers to provide it. And the main reason for that is you have a 1-to-3 ratio. So to be able to even break even, you would have to charge $400 or $500 a week per child. Well, no parent on earth is going to pay that. So you're in kind of a catch-22. What a lot of centers will do is they'll have a small infant room with maybe 3 or 6 infants, but that's going to be full very quickly, and that's still very expensive. For younger kids, I think you may want to look in, you know, at an in-home provider or a neighbor or a relative or something like that. When you get to 2 to 4 years old, you're looking for a little bit more interaction with the children. Maybe you're looking for a nursery school type program. And there the ratios are anywhere from 1 to 6 to 1 to 10. So providers can, you know, charge a reasonable fee and provide wonderful services. So it's a lot more available in that age range. It's really tough for parents with infants.
Babies need a very, very different kind of care than a 4-year-old needs or an 8-year-old needs. When we were interviewing for our first child when she was just an infant, I was looking mostly for someone who was so kind and so loving. It's not a question of, can this person teach your child how to diagram a sentence? You know, you don't need that yet in your daycare.
Can this person hold and love your child?
That's right. Exactly. And just can the warmth and the good feeling go back and forth? And then that changes. Unfortunately, we live in an extremely complicated world. So as your children get older, you're looking for someone who thinks like you think, who has the same moral structure for their life. But for little tiny babies, it's basically how bigger and how soft are their arms.
Did you think that there might be a language issue? You know, children absorb language so early.
Well, that's a very interesting question. And we have had a full range of child care providers. And our children speak like we speak, primarily. They have picked up some bad grammar habits. They use like far too often for my taste. But primarily, they speak the way we speak. And just because you have childcare, whether it's in-home or center-based, doesn't mean that you give up your parenting responsibilities.
Bob, why did you elect to provide care for school-age children only?
Well, I think my background kind of lent itself to that. I worked in summer camps, which were for older kids. Every once in a while, some eyebrows go up. Geez, you're a guy, you're in daycare, why is that? Part of the thing I like and my wife like about running our centers in schools is we have a very open-door policy. Not only are parents walking all the time, but the teachers are walking in all the time. Principals are walking in all the time. And also, it just kind of geared itself to my mentality. I wanted to take a group of kids and go play soccer, go play kickball, go play this, that, and the other thing. Since that's where my enjoyments lied, that's why I put my talents to use.
Celia, how can parents evaluate home child care providers in an ongoing way? You've hired the loving, caring person, and you leave. How do you evaluate how that person's doing with your child or children?
Well, it's a difficult situation, especially if you read in the newspaper or see on TV programs all this alarmist information. And now people are making a lot of money selling home-based surveillance systems to families. I didn't want to live my life in fear. So instead, you ask your neighbors, what did you see? Oh, have you seen my kids up at the park? What did you think? How is the daycare provider doing with my children? And then you look at your children. When the daycare provider comes in, or comes upstairs if they live with you, do they run into the arms of the other person, which is what you want? Your child doesn't love you less if they love someone else. You want to give your child a bath. Do they have bruises on their arms? Well, if they did, that look like fingerprints, where did those come from? And again, you have to listen. My experience with my children, and I only have 3, so we should check with Bob, who has more, is that they'll tell you stuff after a while. That last minute before they fall asleep, when you're riding in the car, they'll say something that can be very, very interesting. So you have to be vigilant in paying attention. But I would caution you not to live in fear, because then the situation isn't working.
Yeah, I think the idea about the children's demeanor, are they excited to see the person that walked in the door? Are they sad when she leaves or he leaves? I think those are very telltale signs, not just in home, but in the centers. I want to see the kids. This is going to sound kind of sick, but I want to see the kids crying when their parents pick up. I don't want to go. I want to stay. I want to stay. If we're getting that response, we're doing our jobs well.
Yeah.
If the kids are flocking to mom, oh, thank God, I'm out of here, there's a problem. And so I think that goes for all daycare providers, whether it's home-based, even if it's a relative, and definitely center-based.
This is a question for both of you, and it stems from what we just talked about. What kind of feedback can parents expect from their children?
All parents, red flags should go up easily. If my child comes home and says, oh, my teacher pushed me, that doesn't happen all that often. In fact, that's not happened. But obviously, huge red flags are going to go up. if they say, my daycare provider said this, or they say a word that you don't like. It's like, well, where'd you hear that? Oh, so-and-so said at daycare. I mean, there's so much that can send up a red flag. And I think we just have to be prepared to at least ask the question. I had an interesting thing happen this summer. We had a teacher come in to do a drama program at our summer camp. And he was doing a drama program on Just Say No to Drugs. And a little boy was sick for the first week, and he came into the second week of a camp session. He was supposed to be one of the bad kids, and he's supposed to say, I like marijuana. So he goes home, and he's saying this. Well, where'd you learn that? Well, the drama teacher told me this, and what he wasn't going home was saying the rest of what's going on. The next line was 30 kids saying, just say no, just say no. But I got a call from the mom, and I said, sure. I said, wait a minute. I said, let me explain to you what this was about. But I was happy that this mom called. I mean, it's one, I don't want that kind of misinformation going out about my program, but two, that should send up some red flags. And then when mom came and saw the place, she realized, wait a minute, this was harmless, this was fine, this was teaching something good and positive, but it didn't go home quite that way. So you don't want to be skeptical about what your kids say, but you want to definitely hear it, understand that they're your children, and then take the next step, ask the questions.
And again, Bob, I think you make the point that you have to hear it, which means that you have to spend time listening to your children. We have this old-fashioned thing at dinner where you have to tell three things about your day. And it's not enough to say, I ate lunch and I went to gym. You have to tell information. What did you do? What went on? Who did you talk to? So sometimes you hear information that maybe pricks your ears right up and you say, oh, so you went to the store and you had 17 pieces of candy? Yes. And then they say, oh, and the daycare provider said, don't tell, it's just a little snack. Well, I don't want to hear about things that we don't permit. And I also don't want to hear the daycare provider said, don't tell.
Yeah, don't. If I ever heard a staff person say, don't tell your mother, then that staff person's gone. We tell mom everything. It has to be that way. But I liked her idea about the dinner table. I mean, we make a point, if you've got kids doing soccer and dance and basketball and going 1,001 different directions, I think sitting down and having a dinner hour and actually talking about what happened in their day is essential for, well, not just for finding if you have a good daycare provider, but just for having a close-knit family. If you take your 6-year-old or 7-year-old and say, what did you do today? The first answer is nothing. Mm-hmm. But what we've done to try to help that is we put up sheets in our centers just called What We Did Today sheets. So the parents can look down and they say, oh, look, they did karate and they did clubs and they did this. So they can actually ask, hey, how was karate today? You ask a leading question, the kids will give you the answer.
I think the other thing you can do is take advantage of small moments in time. We all tell our children good night. And if you give yourself 5 minutes to do it instead of 35 seconds, and I know how pressed everyone is for time, then the child has a safe opportunity to tell you if something is on his mind or her mind, to share with you a little information. The other place that I found great for getting information is in the car.
Car rides.
Mm-hmm. You're in the front seat. The child is in the back seat strapped in, so the child can't go anywhere. But you also don't have to make eye contact. Yes. So things that are harder to say can come out in the car.
Bob, how can child care best be offered to low-income level families?
There's many different programs, actually, that address that issue. One is called Working Parents Assistance. Another is Department of Social Services. Many different kind of social worker-type departments will have child care assistance. And what licensed providers can do is go ahead and accept these vouchers. And so parents go and they give all their income stuff to a government organization, a county organization, and they will decide, oh, this person qualifies for X amount of help a month. And then instead of us going to the parent for payment, we'll actually go to these different organizations for their payment. And we actually accept every voucher known to mankind.
That's really interesting. I was totally unaware of that.
Yeah. And then a lot of providers, us included, are starting to do scholarship programs where we'll try to take 10% of the spaces in our center and save them for people really in need. They can't get on the DSS programs or the WPA programs, Working Parent Assistance programs, because the waiting lists are too long, but they'll come on to us. We'll go ahead and scholarship them until they can get themselves onto those.
That's wonderful. That gives kids an opportunity to be with a whole lot of different kinds of children.
Yeah. Well, and also if the parents can't get out to go to work, it's in a catch-22 situation. You can't afford child care, so you can't go to work. So you have to at least find the child care first so you can go out and get a job. So we try to end that catch-22 cycle.
Bob, what are the means for training child care staff members?
We provide trainings about once every 6 weeks, and just to kind of keep people trying to come up with new ideas. Now, we're a larger organization, so we can afford to do that. We'll bring in specialists in science or in cooking, and actually we do lots of cooking projects, and so we'll take 2 hours in the evening, and all of our staff will come and learn cooking projects you can do with kids. Even if it's something simple like Jell-O Jigglers, which is just making the Jell-O stick in the refrigerator. But what it does is it gets them thinking of different ideas, and it gives us a chance to brainstorm. We do CPR and first aid training. We do that twice a year. Regulations say it has to be done once a year. We offer it twice a year because if we ever need that, I want people to be 100% perfect on it. And I think if you have a provider that's coming to your house, go ahead, it's only $40 or $50. Sign them up for the CPR and first aid. Let them, you know, go ahead and take them to it. So that way you've got it and you can be a little bit more comfortable at home. We also get a lot of college kids who are education majors. So I'm benefiting from the classes they take during the day. And so that's some of the training programs that we try to use.
I think that those training programs that Bob is using in his center also make sense at home. We make sure that everyone who's done daycare for us has had infant CPR or child CPR, which is different than adult CPR. We also have a lot of books at home that talk about rainy day activities, mm-hmm. where to go with children, ideas for religious holidays. Whatever it is, you have to have resources in the home just like you have in a daycare center.
Is there anything either of you would like to add that we might not have covered yet?
This is not a time to try to save money. You need to get the best child care that you can possibly afford. And if you find a situation that you like and it costs an extra $10 a week or an extra $20 a week, then you have to go for that better situation and cut back on pizza out and make it at home or whatever it's going to take. And then the second rule that we've used in our household very, very successfully is that we treat our daycare provider just like we want to be treated by our employers. So we have vacation and we have sick leave, and we try to make an adult atmosphere for someone who's spending their entire day with children. We treat them with respect, and likewise, we've gotten respect back. And that's really helped our time be smoother than many of the times I've heard about from my friends.
Yeah, we try to do the same thing actually in reverse. What we'll do is we have about every month we have staff get-togethers, staff bowling nights, staff hockey games. We'll get together and we do some pretty much kid-oriented thing, but just so that way we're having people who are coming, who are having fun, enjoy their jobs. If they're happy at their jobs, they're going to be a lot happier with your children. We play games with our staff during these staff get-togethers, and they're excited, and they go and they play with the kids during the day.
We'd like to thank our guests, Bob Sickles and Celia Shapiro, for helping us explore this very important subject. It was delightful and very informative to have you both with us.
Thanks. Thank you.
This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective.
If you would like to send suggestions, comments, or questions to Parents' Perspective, you can email us at parentspur@aol.com or contact us, care of this station. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burton.